It is almost 3 a.m., and you know what that means. Witches, goblins, and ghouls are about to be at their most powerful, and supernatural activity is about to reach its climax, if you will.
So pull out your harnesses and strap on your broomsticks, because it's time for
the Bitching Hour.
Hey everybody, I'm Mia. I used to live in the valley and write poetry, go to shows and experience joy. Now I'm in nursing school.
Ooh. And I'm Maggie, a self-proclaimed Velvet Butch, and I think the only person who still watches the original Queer as Folk on Netflix. So,
welcome to the Bitching Hour.
Let's get started.
This is Killing the Game.
Welcome to Killing the Game. So
here we're going to talk about badass moves.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about doing shit that feels good, accomplishing mm-hmm. our goals, mm-hmm. successes in our lives, and generally just us mm-hmm. killing it.
Mm-hmm. Good surprises, things we put a lot of effort into, things we put very little effort into, because you guys need to get used to women talking about their successes on the air. That's yeah. how we feel, is that we need to get used to talking about it, and we need to get used to hearing it. So
Maggie,
what have
how did you kill the game this week?
How did I kill the game this week? Well, last night, I just pushed my glasses up my nose, so if you were all so in the room, you would know that this is serious. I made a salmon noodle dish, which was really good. You know, like, so I cook the dinner in my home most of the time. My partner has some meals that she does, which she's really good at, but like most of the time I make dinner. So like, I think it's a chore sometimes, but sometimes I really like it. I kind of go back and forth. And yesterday I was not feeling it. I didn't really want to make dinner at all. I put it off. I started late and you make very thin noodles. I actually used angel hair, which is kind of a hot take, and then you do a little marinade with soy sauce and ginger. I use fresh ginger and lime juice for this salmon. And then I sauteed it and I kept it warm while I sauteed some veggies, and I mixed it with this pasta, and then I put the salmon on top, and there were like green onions in there. It was so good. And then I had the leftovers for lunch, and I was that bitch. I put salmon in the microwave at work.
I wouldn't give a shit.
So
honestly, salmon in the microwave is so different than tuna out of the can.
Yes.
Someone heating up salmon, not that big of a deal.
Yeah, because salmon is like a relatively chill fish. It doesn't taste like, it doesn't smell like salt water.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Also, you know a meal is dope when you're willing to eat the leftovers at work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so often I'll make a meal and I'll be like, oh, this was good. And then when I think about bringing it the next day, I'm like, oh, but instead I could just, like, eat French fries.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want my coworkers to see me eating this and go, what is it? Like,
yeah.
This time I was like, yeah, you can
but
look.
That's, you're like, check this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wish I had a food Instagram.
I don't wish I had a food Instagram. It would just be like Eggo waffles, salmon dinner, Eggo waffles, Eggo waffles. Okay. So Mia, how are you killing the game?
So today I registered for a doula training here in Boston. This will be my first doula training. It's been a long time coming. Honestly, I've just never really had the money for it. It can be a really expensive thing. Mm-hmm. And this was like several hundred dollars.
Oh, wow.
But your bitch got a tax return.
Ooh.
So I'm using it to propel my career. I'm very excited about it, especially because the timing is really nice. It's at the end of the month. It's here in Boston. And I just submitted my paperwork for my clinical preceptorship, which is my final semester of nursing school.
Yeah, you said preceptorship earlier to me, and I nodded like I knew what it was, and I don't know what it is.
Basically, it means that I get paired with a nurse on a floor, and they're my mentor, and I like basically shadow them and learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people try and get into their specialty in this part of the program. So like there's people who want to do ICU really bad. And ICUs typically don't have nursing students. Like you don't get a clinical placement for a group of like six people at a ICU because people are too sick. It's too acute. So this is kind of the chance for people who want specialties that we don't get that much time in or that we don't really get to experience. This is when you kind of can do that. So I have my maternity rotation in the summer. So just 2 months from now.
Summer's in 2 months?
My summer semester is in 2 months, May.
That's a lie.
Right? April, March, April, May. So 3 months.
It'll be like third winter.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll have my maternity rotation, but I'm hoping, but at this point now I'll have done a doula training before my maternity rotation even starts, which is cool.
Oh, I didn't realize it was going to start so soon.
The
doula training.
Yeah. So the doula training is on the 20th of April.
Oh, is it like a 1 day situation?
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's 20th, 21st, 22nd.
That's great.
Yeah. And it's cool because a lot of classes don't include childbirth educator workshops, but this includes that as well. And it seems like it'll be great. And then I'm hoping that will get me an in into taking, because I have to do a resume and basically apply to get the preceptorship. Mm-hmm. They place you and there's a chance I could get placed anywhere. But I think they try to get you into a specialty.
And this will definitely like cement your intentions.
Exactly. So yeah. And if not, then it'll make me more appealing as a new grad for jobs in labor and delivery.
Yes.
Having doula training and certification.
Yeah, seriously. And also if you like in the in-betweens, if you're like, you can like get a little bit of actual like doula practicing while you're like studying for the NCLEX and like things like that.
I can go down the street to that place.
What place?
There's a place, I don't want to say the name of it, because then everyone will know where we live.
Mars.
There's a place, it's in a yellow and brown building.
Yes. Yes, I know what you're talking about with the sign in the window.
Yeah,
yes.
And I...
That is the most not... Oh, the guy with the hair. Yeah.
Yeah, the sign in the window. But I could reach out to them and potentially work as a doula for them. Ooh. Attending births. And I think it would be That'd be cool to do postpartum doula, to do like people are abortion doulas, which is what the Boston Doula Project was about.
That's so cool. I didn't realize that postpartum doulas or abortion doulas existed.
Yeah, yeah. So there's people who are birth doulas, and then there are people who are with people. And so postpartum doulas are often really cool because they'll come into your home and they're basically like nannies who have a really particular understanding of newborn needs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And also maternal needs. So, but they often basically the role of a postpartum doula is like to come in and let you sleep. That's and like take so care of shit while you're sleeping. Nice. Yeah. And a lot of places like your insurance can assist with paying for that and stuff.
Wow.
So I'm very excited about that. And it feels like a good step that I'm making, like a proactive step towards my dream.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
We're killing the game.
Yeah, we're killing the game.
Getting into this week's brew, the topic that we picked this week was ghosting. Everybody, I mean, I don't know if everybody's done it. I don't know if it's happened to everybody. We both done it. It's happened to us. So. Yeah,
but I feel like it's come into the, it's become more well known as a thing because of internet dating, I feel like.
Yes. Yeah, because there's so many opportunities. Okay, there's so many ways to talk, which means there's so many ways to not talk.
Right. Exactly. So we wanted to talk about this for this episode.
So
we looked up what, you know, like a nice definition to get us started for talking about it. So Google says.
A who on Google?
So supposedly just Google. I have no. I asked Jeeves.
Oh, I never met her. I don't know.
Siri told us. The practice of ending a personal relationship with someone by suddenly and without explanation withdrawing from all communication.
Okay.
So a lot of people I feel like have been ghosted. A lot of people that I know. A lot of people have ghosted.
I've watched ghosting. I've watched like I have ghosted people before. I will come out. I need to come out, you guys. I have ghosted.
Here we go.
And I have I've seen close friends ghost real time, which is I think heinous to watch.
It's hard to watch.
But I think I think it's worth getting into a little bit. I mean, I think we will need to share some of our in-depth experiences as ghosties and ghosters, but it would be good to establish, like, what are we counting as ghosting? What is it? Is it everything? Is it, like, we're done and you don't talk again? Or, like, is there some middle ground?
Right.
So, I mean, what do you count as ghosting?
Well, I think that's actually a perfect segue into my story. So, I don't know if I've ever properly ghosted someone. I think I'm a soft ghost.
Is that your, is that your identity?
That's how I identify.
A power ghost.
I'm a power ghost. but there was a particular time that Maggie reminded me of tonight. So we were at Mount Holyoke, where we both went to college. And I was taking, I was a senior taking intro to sociology for nursing school requirements.
Did you have Kenneth Tucker for that?
No, I had this young guy.
Oh, Kenneth Tucker was a young man.
He was not old, but this guy was 20-something. But his specialty was actually social media. But he could tell that I was there to fulfill a purpose, and that was it. So he was pretty chill. Like,
oh, yeah, you walked right in the first day. He was like, oh, this one, she's got prereqs to fulfill.
Exactly, which actually a lot of people in the class were. Mm-hmm. And the person in the class that I ghosted was also doing prereqs for med school, I believe.
I mean,
so, but I was, she was very impressive. So this person had never slept with a woman before, had never kissed a girl, had never been interested in women.
Was her like, was she like the kind of person who was like, okay, I'm down to do it one day, or like, I don't really care?
That was
or...
the problem. I don't think she knew.
Right. Which is cool.
How
I
she
mean,
felt.
Yeah.
Right.
But.
So so we became friends pretty quickly in the class because we were a little bit older. Most of the people in the class were first years, some sophomores. So we kind of hung out in a corner of the room, literally.
Mm-hmm. Is this like big lecture hall? So like you can...
Like 40 people.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Like pretty small. The classroom was way too small for how many people there were. But but people were really nice in it. And the professor was nice. And there was a lot of group work and shit. So we started like chatting and... There was one day that I was upset because someone I had asked on a date out for ice cream.
Oh my God, I forgot.
had kind of told me that they were interested and then changed their mind. And it was kind of confusing. And I came into class and I was kind of upset about it. I was like, oh, this girl lives on my floor. Now I have to see her.
Oh
and
my God.
Weird. And this person in my class was like, oh, well, like, since now that you're free on that day, we should... go on a date. And
she said go on a date.
She said go on a date. So but for the weeks leading up to that, the tension had kind of built, and she was beautiful, but but very straight, and like talked about her ex-boyfriends and you know, like talked about being straight at Mount Holyoke. Like that was like a funny thing that she brought up.
Like being straight, like as like an identity, not just like, oh, I've only dated men, but like I am straight.
Right. She identified as straight pretty openly. And so, but she would always like talk about my hair.
Well, you have really nice hair.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you guys can't, I mean, you can see it on the podcast. You all know that it looks amazing, but it looks really good.
How nice my hair is.
Yeah.
My hair is pretty, I wouldn't say it's nice, but I would say that it's like, it's characteristic.
Senior year Mia also really did a lot of different hair.
Which is this period.
Oh, okay. So where were we? Were we like cotton candy?
So I had long blonde hair. Then I dyed it pink, and she nearly lost her mind when I came in with the pink.
I think we all did.
but so she really liked all the different colors, and she would always comment on them, and she would touch my hair even.
Was this
class.
Pre-short hair?
Yes, it was long.
Okay.
I was a hard femme.
She was something time. Good. She
I'm
was
a hard
she
femme
was
again now.
Johnny Depp, who is gross, but she was a crybaby. All over.
Crybaby, who also is kind of gross.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, John Waters.
Sorry, everyone.
not the film, just the character.
Just the hair.
Just the hair.
Just that one wisp. Just the forehead wisp.
So the girl kind of suddenly showed an interest. Like, it had been kind of flirty, but I really totally didn't think anything of it. And then all of a sudden, she's like, well, no, you're free that night. Why don't we go on a date? And it was, like, that night. Mm. So I was like, oh, yes. Let's do that. So, but she then suggested, so I was like, okay, it's a date. But then she had suggested we go to Blanchard, the dining hall on campus.
Oh. So I'm tell me more about the delicacies at Blanchard.
She's like, we should watch a movie in your room because I had a single because I was a senior.
Oh.
So I'm like, all right, sure. Like, let's do it. Oh, man, the movie I made her watch.
What was it?
I can't even. The movie that's,
Paddington 2.
I wish. I'm going to look it up right now as I talk. It's the Jake Gyllenhaal movie. It's like a new, like he's becomes obsessed with filming car accidents and stuff.
What the fuck? Baby Driver.
Honestly,
Fast
it's very
and the Furious
similar.
6.
What's the fucking movie?
Is that fucking Valentina? Wait, scroll up.
No, Maggie, that's Jackie Onassis.
Oh, well. What are, like, any other major plot points?
He's just sweaty. Anyways, I may have watched some bad... You know the movie where Ryan Gosling beats people up? Driver?
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to Driver.
Ew.
I can't fucking remember the name of this movie.
Did you just really want to see it? Were you just like, you picked the straightest movie you could think of?
I just wanted to watch it. Oh, it's like 4 hours, too.
Dear God. Did you guys make out at all, or did you just watch the movie?
Okay, so here's what happened. So we go to Blanchard. I get vegan nuggets because what else did I eat at the time?
Mm.
You know how your cells,
replicate. Mitotosis.
So we go to Blanchard. So we go to Blanchard, and I get vegan nuggets because I didn't eat anything else at the time.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, do you want to bring the food back to your room and we can watch a movie? And she had also, like, previously in the semester had said, like, we got to go on a friend date, blah, blah, blah. But then was said this was a date. And then because it was at Blanchard, I was kind of confused. And then I, like, got nervous on the way to Blanchard because I suddenly realized I was actually going on a date.
Mm-hmm.
So we bring the food back to my room. I make her watch this movie that I cannot remember the name of that is an absolutely horrible movie with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
It's like 4 hours long and it was not Brokeback Mountain.
Nope.
We watch the movie. We're like sitting close to each other, but nothing's happening. Ugh. Especially because, so here's the other thing. I had been out for a really long time, but yes. I, as Maggie knows, did not really date much at Mount Holyoke.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was not that experienced either, and she had never, she like, didn't even know how she felt. So then that came up. She started talking about how she didn't know how she felt about dating girls, but that she was interested in me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm trying to, you know, be sensitive and handle that and make her feel comfortable, but I'm also kind of freaking out, and I'm also like, right. I don't know you, so I don't know if I'm into this.
Right.
So... Eventually, she's like, oh, I told my friends I'd come over at this time. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to a party.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, let me walk you to your friends. So I walk her to her friends. Oh, my God. And I said, can I kiss you? And she's like, yes, finally. So we smooch.
Finally? What?
She Girl, went, you... Apparently, it wasn't soon enough for her. So we smooch. It's great. Everything's great. Okay. She goes to her friends.
You guys, like, make out or you kiss?
We, like, kissed for longer than a second.
Okay.
You know, we didn't, quite make out, but it was a smooch. There were several smooches in a row.
Fantastic.
So, I'm like, all right, see ya. And I, like, walk over to my party, like, feeling like a fucking million bucks. I'm like, yeah. I felt like I was the coolest fucking kid. So, then after that, we don't hang out again. She texts me occasionally, but mostly, like, comments on my Instagram pictures. And it's just, it was kind of bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was she would text me all the time to find out where I was on campus and then would be like, oh, I'm good. I'll come right there. And would just come meet me at places. Like, I'd be, like, eating dinner alone. And she would just, like, come find me and would be like, you know, catch up, say hi. And then she'd always say, can I get a kiss? And it was like,
so
bizarre.
Cute, but too much.
But like, it was really bizarre because we weren't hanging out. We weren't spending time together. We had class together still, like, 3 times a week.
Oh, my God.
But we weren't hanging out, but she wanted to very publicly kiss in the middle of the dining hall.
Right.
You know? So, like, the first couple times I was like, I mean, I want to kiss you, and sure, so I did. And then people were like, are you dating that person that we've never seen because she studies bio and is an athlete and you don't do either of those things? I was like, no, I don't think so. I have no idea.
Also, just like for the, we might get like 2 listeners who didn't go to Mount Holyoke, but for you two, Mount Holyoke's very small.
Very small, very gay.
There's like 500 students in each class here, 500 to 600. So like in terms of like dining halls, like people seeing you smooch, like there's a good chance
it's
you know somebody.
Thing.
Like it's not just like, oh, you're smooching in front of strangers.
Right.
Like,
and even that would kind of make me uncomfortable, generally.
Yeah.
I don't typically smooch in front of strangers.
What?
Yeah. It's like, it's okay. It's just like, as long as you don't do it in front of me. So.
Just get it out of my face, but.
Like, right, exactly. Like, I support gay rights, but just like, not just none of my children.
Oh, my God.
So, the weird smooching is happening nearly all the time. Then it progresses to the point that she wants to kiss me goodbye when we leave sociology.
No, ma'am.
And our professor's there.
Wait, okay.
She
so
kissed
like,
me in front of our professor.
Like standing up on the way out the door?
Like we all walked out of the building. We're standing at the top of the hill right before the library.
Yeah.
She says, "Can I get a smooch?"
Oh my God.
And I say, and the professor, like, so I smooch it real quick, and I look, and the professor's, like, looking at me, and, you know, he was very nice. He just was like, oh, you know, like, that not acknowledgement, like, oh, two of my students are dating. That's interesting. And I was like, no, I mean, there's no problem. I would, but I just, it was so very awkward. So, it got real weird. So I started to kind of ghost her. Because I had said, like, listen, I had just gotten out of a relationship, like, a month or two before that. Conveniently, that relationship has been an excuse out of many circumstances because it dragged for so long that, like, nearly every time period of my life that I've been single in the past 4 years, I've been able to be like, oh, but I'm still getting over this ex.
Sorry.
So
I can't.
Sorry to everyone who's trying to date me. All 9,000 of you. Just kidding. So yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm like dealing with this stuff. And, it was right before my breast reduction, actually.
Oh yeah.
I was very weirded out about that and like, you know, feeling comfortable in my body and not really feeling sexual at the time. I mean, like surgical scars don't really make you like currently healing surgical scars. You don't like, it's just, it's uncomfortable. I didn't know what the fuck my body looked like.
And I remember, if I'm remembering correctly, you were relatively vocal about that. Like, you told her about the surgery. You told her about the relationship. It was, you were going into your second semester of senior year. You had, like, just decided to not write a thesis.
Yeah, I was giving up on my dreams. I was busy.
Anyways.
I gave up on my dreams, and here we are today doing a podcast.
But anyway, so Mia was very vocal with this person.
So I think this is, and this is one of the questions that I was interested in raising about ghosting. So I kind of ghosted her and eventually we had a month off. I think she was from Michigan. So she went home, she came back, you know, like there was a lot of time that we didn't really talk, but she would text every once in a while and I would text her and like she texted me like Merry Christmas.
Oh,
I was like, thank you.
I sometimes still do that to my ex-boyfriends from high school. Is that bad?
No, it's like our generation's Christmas card.
Yeah.
Like you send it to your exes from...
with like a little gift emoji.
It's amazing. So I ghosted her.
Mm.
And we've talked since like very casually. She now lives abroad. Mm-hmm. So no chance of running into her in the Boston area, which is nice.
That's true.
But I do feel bad about it. But it also, so this is a question that I was interested in raising. First of all, what are we counting as ghosting? Because in this scenario, we kissed one time after a date and then it was just fucking, there were no dates after that. So, so in my mind, it's like you kiss somebody a couple of times. That's not
right.
You know, but also for someone who now looking back on it, I can be a little bit more sensitive about the fact that this was raising a lot of questions for her about her identity and about her time at Mount Holyoke. And, you know, and I think I was kind of shitty in like being like, I don't really want to engage with that, even though I think probably it's because it was holding up a mirror to some questions that I was still exploring with myself.
And, ooh, Mia.
You know, I think like, I think that, you know, we talk about coming out and how you always have to come out like, oh, I came out to my mailman and how often we have to do it and whatever. But I think also for me, I had come out pretty young. I was 9. But then it happened again when I was in high school. And then it happened again at Mount Holyoke. And and I think like that you keep coming out to yourself, too. And so I think that I was afraid of being vulnerable in that way.
Mm.
And I also maybe I just wasn't really totally interested. But either way, I don't think that I was that sensitive. But when is it necessary to ghost somebody? Because in this situation, I had told this person, listen, I'm not really looking for anything serious. I'm working through this thing, and this thing. I'm also, like, not totally available sexually because of some physical stuff going on with this surgery. I think maybe we had our first kiss right before the surgery. It was Thanksgiving. And so then we had this weird time between Thanksgiving and Christmas where the ghosting happened. So, yeah, you know, if someone's not totally respecting your boundaries, is it totally cool to just stop responding?
Well, I think, too, one thing that was really is still interesting about this is that, like, it's a combination of, like, you used very serious verbal cues. Like, you literally, I remember reading the text that said, like, I am having this surgery. I am doing these things. I am very stressed out. I don't think this is going to work. Very cut and dry. So, like, there's kind of no mistaking that. But also, I think there's something to be said for physical boundaries, too. Like, if I am kissing someone in public and they are not into it and uncomfortable, I can tell most of the time. Yeah, I can normally pick up on that. And it's, like, it's hard because I think you were both, as you're saying, like, you're both going through, like, in some ways similar, but also very different things. But being in that fishbowl of Mount Holyoke as well, like, being in a space where I've never been in a space where there are so many queer women all living in the same space at the same time who know everything about each other. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's, I mean, that's a lot to do it all. To do it all in front of everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of don't, I don't blame you. Like, when is it, I mean, I don't, maybe we don't have an answer to it, but it's like, if you express like, nah, enough times, when are you allowed to just stop answering your phone?
Right. Like, and I mean, I think part of it too is like what you were saying about it's situational, mm-hmm. you know, and I really think that it is. And I, like, I was talking to a friend from nursing school about this. And she was talking about, you know, like a mutual ghost. She was saying, you know, mm-hmm. I went on a date with a guy. We both had a good time. We texted each other afterwards. That was nice, both of us. Then no one said anything. And it wasn't, you know, we just both were like, oh, that was fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that what makes ghosting ghosting is that it's the person reaches out and it's mm-hmm. like, it's ignoring. It's not mm-hmm. just like, oh, we never hit each other up again. And I am really bad at texting. So... Mm-hmm. You know, I don't respond often very quickly. And I think that's kind of the way that I ghost people. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember I would just not respond to this person's text for days. And then mm-hmm. I would respond eventually. And I'd say, oh, sorry, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like that's just as bad, if not worse.
Because you've been on the other end of that before.
Right. And you're like, well, fuck you. I'm not going to try then.
And then you get you that know? Text and you're like, okay, well, maybe bye.
I should. You know? Yeah. So, and often when I do it to people, it's not indicative of me not being interested. I just mm-hmm. like...
You just, like, had clinical.
I just have clinical. Or I just think, I see, read it, and I think of what I would say, and then I have to, like, you know, go do something else.
I do that shit all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Just get distracted or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my slow roast.
My slow ghost.
Slow roast, soft ghost.
Slow roast, pulled pork.
Yeah.
You're veg.
I'm veg, but I fucking slow roasted this poor person.
Well, the other thing I really like about that story is that I think that there's something to be said about respecting different forms of physical intimacy as, like, different people having different reactions to them. Because there have been times in my life where all I've done is make out with somebody and it, like, we did it enough times or it hit me at the right moment mm-hmm. or it, like, had something to do with other things that were going on. And it, like, was very potent to me. It's a potent right. memory. It makes me really remember them and care about them. And then there are people that I made out with at, like, the Identity Rave Festival my senior year of high school. And I'm gonna tell you what, I don't care.
Right.
Like, you know, so it's, but I think what I like about that is that I like when there's, like, a certain amount of kind of taking it seriously that's given to all right. we do is make out, but, like, she clearly gave a shit and I was clearly going through things. I'm not going to pretend like we didn't have feelings.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. And I think that it, you know, I think often too, time moves in such a weird way when you're in college because mm-hmm. semesters are so fast paced and then you have these big long breaks where you hang out at your parents' house and do nothing. Mm-hmm. So I think that was weird too of, I remember being home and being like, shit, I should text this person back. And, you know, I saw her, I think last year she was, like, working reunions and I really? Went to her graduation and we still, like, we say hi and everything. I mm-hmm. I've never, like, ignored someone in public.
Yeah.
Which is a difference between our two stories.
Yeah. I have been blatantly ignored in public yeah. before. You I really got, I have been, I wasn't slow roasted. I was incinerated.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, my freshman year at Mount Holyoke, my first year, I was not out. I was not particularly self-aware of the fact that I was queer. I was struggling hard and sleeping with a lot of dudes and, having bad sex. And I really fell for this person who was very, very masculine, very toxically masculine. Like, I know the likelihood she listens to this is slim to none. So I will say that to give you an idea, she wore Party with Sluts bro tanks to parties.
Mm, neon.
Neon. So that is not cute. I'm just gonna, not cute. But I was into it. I was like, yeah, treat me like shit. Fuck yeah. So we hooked up, we like made out a couple of times, like fooled around, and then we did have sex, and she knew that I had not hooked up with a woman before. I had said like, no, this is something I've been really confused about. She kind of knew the backstory, and knew that I was really overwhelmed and really stressed out, but really into it and very, very needy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like there's this, so one time someone was talking to me, it could have been in regards to this scenario that I just talked about.
I thought you were about to say my scenario. No. I was like, you what?
Someone said what? No, I remember someone once was talking to me and they told me, so this is one of the grossest phrases I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. They said, don't be anyone's Columbus.
Ew.
Yeah. So before we even get into the imperialist,
I don't even think I get it.
So don't be someone's first.
Don't be someone's first. Ew,
that's like before we even get into because I want you to tell your story, and I'm without getting in too much into problematic white queers and imperialism and genocide. Someone said that to me once, and it's like when someone says something talking shit about an identity that you belong to,
yeah.
And you're just like,
yeah,
you know, I think actually now that I'm thinking back, and I think this person said it to me about this scenario with the story that I just told with this girl. And I was like, do they know that I have not had sex with a woman? Like, what? And so it's just like a pretty disgusting thing. But it's interesting. I feel like there's this problem of people who are in the club not wanting to initiate someone else into the club.
Or only initiating people into the club. And then as soon as they're into it, as soon as they're like, wow, I'm actually learning a lot about my identity, they're like, oh, I only fuck straight girls.
Right,
so
this is a token thing.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so, which, this is all definitely good fodder for next episode. But I think it's really fucked up the ways that we, and I think that it's really interesting that it happens at a place like Mount Holyoke where, one, people are of an age where they're often having their first sexual experiences and often their first queer experiences if they, you know, and so it's, like, especially dangerous and toxic, I think, that people often have this mindset where, like, you don't want to hook up, they'll be too needy, or they'll be too emotional, or whatever, that people are different in their sexual experiences, and people react to their sexual experiences in different ways. So I think that that's something that really bothers me about this story, your story, is the way that there was this kind of dismissal of what that moment was for you, in this really misogynistic way.
Well, because I just called myself needy. Like, I just used the word needy for myself. But when I'm saying it, it's not a pejorative. People need things sometimes. Right. That is okay to need things. I needed a lot of things. I was really a mess. But I think that there's, I mean, two things. One, you know, going off of what you just said, there is, I think because of the internet and because of how things have progressed in like just the trajectory of the past 20 years, it is now seen as like, if you're not out by the time you come to college, you're behind.
Right.
Or like, you got to figure it out real quick. I remember being like, absolutely, like, oh my God, everybody's going to know that I didn't know what I was doing.
I remember relying on the fact that I first thought about my queerness when I was like a child to make me feel more comfortable in social situations and trying to hide the fact that I had never dated someone who was not
all the time. I was constantly doing that because I remember
this happened the other night when we were out. One of our friends, Maggie and I, and one of our other friends had met some guys, some gay dudes, some cis white gay dudes, who were telling us, who were just chatting and whatever, we're talking, and at one point one of them said, bisexuality, that just means you like getting eaten out. And we all kind of like reacted.
Okay, I'm sorry, what is with dudes thinking that like bisexual women never go down on other women of the myriad of sexual experiences you can have,
but
like, why would you assume that all bisexual women are passive?
Why
in
would
bed?
You assume that bisexual means women?
Also, passive and receiving is not the same thing, sorry, but
right, why would he assume that bisexual means women? He said eating out, you know what I mean, like,
right?
So anyway, I want you to tell the rest of your story, but I think that there's a lot of problems that are really evident in the way that this person behaved.
And I think are so, it's like a little condensed slice of like so many fucked up things that happen in queer women communities. So anyways, so I'm very needy and I am feeling a lot of ways. we hook up a couple times and I express that I really, really want to have sex with this person. And they had said, like, they had actually did that, like, really messed up kind of, like, they were only a little bit older than me, but they had been out since the eighth grade. And so they knew what the hell they were doing. And they said, well, I'm not going to have, you're not ready to have sex. You're not ready to have sex. And I was like, no, I'm like really ready to have sex with you. And they were like, no, you're not ready. You're not ready. And Mia's shaking her head. And we had sex. Just gonna bullet point the scenario for you.
Let's hear them.
Lights were on. Middle of the day, 3 p.m. Lights were on. Blinds were open.
Wow.
I mean, I have no problem with, like, kind of voyeur-y play, but that is not what this was about. Yeah. This was just quick.
Just like a bizarre afternoon romp.
I was skipping my favorite class, Gods and Mortals, from the Classics department. Yeah, that's fucking right. great class. Skipped it for this. Mistake. So it was awful. Surprise, I didn't finish.
Wow.
And
you don't say.
Afterwards, she looked at me and said, well, I mean, you probably like having sex with men better anyways. And I was like, I'm devastated. I'm going to jump out the window. Like,
right. Because of you not having an orgasm.
Because of me not, I mean, I'm assuming because of me not having an orgasm, which is also like, I mean, it makes me sympathetic. It's like, okay, like, it clearly comes from a place of self-consciousness.
Right, but what kind of fucked up heteronormative bullshit is like, if there's not an orgasm, it didn't do anything.
Oh, did you come yet?
Yeah.
Did you come? Oh, it also maybe was like 8 minutes. She didn't, I mean, like, put in a cool 45. Like,
right.
Get down there and settle in. Anyways. But after this happened, we went to dinner with her friends, and she sat on the opposite side of the table from me, and she wouldn't speak to me, and she wouldn't look at me. And that was it. We didn't speak after that. We were in like a small, like, pregame full of people. Later that night, there were maybe 10 of us in the room, and she refused to talk to me. She would, like, not answer her phone. She wouldn't answer her texts. I tried calling her. I did reach the point where I was like, okay, there's only so many times I can call.
This is a ghost that I'm trying to communicate
this
with.
It was a hard ghost. And I remember being like, so upset about it and so overwhelmed. And Allie is a very good friend of ours, but she, I was like crying drunk, maybe like 3 days after this happened, was like really upset and was like, oh, maybe like I should try calling her again, or I should try talking to her. Like, I don't know what to do. And I remember Allie looking at me, and she's a very chill person. And she like is like, she delivers words with a lot of impact, but not that many of them.
Yes.
And she looked at me and she goes, Mags, you've got to punctuate this sentence with a period. I mean, that's probably the coolest thing that comes out of this story is that is a great line.
That is a great line. She said that?
She said, this isn't a comma, baby. You've got to punctuate this with a period. But yeah, and I remember me and I were talking about this earlier, that the last thing that I said to her before she ghosted me is that I had stopped by her room. She was in an a cappella group, so I honestly should have seen this coming.
Right.
But anyway, so she was in an a cappella group and I stopped by her room.
There were about 12 at Mount Holyoke.
People in a cappella or a cappella groups?
No, groups. It felt like. Maybe that's hyperbole.
Okay,
were so many.
I'm just going to quickly say that I was a hard fan of a cappella for a long time and there were not 12 groups.
I did not go until senior year. I went to one show.
It was with me, and I was horrified then, and I'm still horrified now. So anyways. So I went by her room. She had to go to rehearsal, and she's like, I'm sorry, I have to go. Like, she was being really cold. She's like, I'm sorry, I have to go. I'm going to rehearsal. And I said, oh, it's okay. I have to go to therapy. And her mouth, like, dropped open, and she looked at me like I had shared.
You're not.
Like, as if.
To leave. Oh, my.
No, I'm not.
Right.
And I remember like being like, wait, am I supposed to feel embarrassed about this? Because I don't really feel all that embarrassed. Like, I'm a mess. Like, and yeah, so that is what I take away from that in terms of ghosting is that it is so, it is not just like, oh, I lost interest, or, oh, I like, situations are so much more complicated than just two people were on completely equal footing and one of them bailed.
Yeah.
You know,
and that is like a perfect example of like a very cold ghost.
Bye.
Goodbye. That's the point of ghosting. There's no goodbye. And I think that ghosting is, you know, the reason that it's so painful is that it takes away your sense of autonomy in that situation. It takes away your ability to have closure about it, which is why I opt for a slow roast. A slow roast soft ghost.
I have slow roasted. I have, in fact, slow roasted. and gotten called out for it too. I still roasted somebody who then came back and yelled at me about it like 2 years later, and it was so fucking well deserved.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
I would love to yell at the person who ghosted you. So I think ultimately it's pretty fair to say that ghosting is not really a cool thing to do to anybody.
No, I'm not really that into it.
Not a fan of ghosting.
It's like a general rule.
You know, someone that you're seeing, someone that you're hooking up with, you know, you saying, hey, I'm not really feeling this, I think, you know, I'm all set, is so, it's like, when the person gets a message, they're going to say, like, oh, okay, whatever. If you never respond, that, I mean, that's what we were saying. It's the ultimate use of the silent treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do now at this point
is give y'all the silent treatment.
We're going to release one episode and then we're never speaking again.
Now you can know. It'll be like a test for you.
Right. So now that you've listened to this episode about ghosting, prepare to be ghosted.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to The Bitching Hour.
Join us next week. We'll be talking about being queer in college. So if you enjoyed this episode, thank you for tuning in, and tune in next week. This has been episode one.
Yeah, this is Maggie and Mia. Bye, bitches.
Thank you.